Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your grace. You give us the ability to appreciate life and enjoy things in life, not hold on to them, but just enjoy them. With all the confidence in the world, Heavenly Father, that we'll spend eternity with our Savior, with each other. And so, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for tonight. Pray your Spirit will open our eyes to things you'd have us to see in our study. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay.
What a friend we have in Jesus, 403.
Now, to begin with, just a little history. Let's open the Word of God to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. There, I don't think it can be really appreciated in any one, even a book, all that was reaped by the Reformation of Martin Luther. And to me, the two greatest things, of course, the gospel and sola scripture. And but set free again, they were there in the first century, second century, but got lost when the Roman Church took over. But jump to January the 10th, 1538. Now, this is in regards to the doctrine of purgatory, which was very big and is very big in the Roman Church. Martin Luther reported in a, quote, table talk, quote, God has placed two ways before us in His Word, salvation by faith, damnation by unbelief. He does not mention purgatory at all, nor is purgatory to be admitted, for it obscures the benefits and the grace of Christ. It's a powerful statement. It's going to be a real privilege to meet Martin Luther. And no one really knows what heaven's going to be like. Well, you open to Mark 16:16. He who had believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. And on that basis, Martin Luther said what he said. We don't know what heaven's going to be like in eternity. We have some ideas and a few hints, but I just hope we're able to talk to one another about life. And it'll just be so rewarding to talk to Martin Luther, to go experience with him what happened, how he came out of the darkness that was so penetrating in the Roman Catholic Church to him. Now, having said that, there are a few people 100 years before, 50 years before, that were starting to rumble. But he really just walked away and walked out and made his statement, and with his 95 theses and things like this. So it's really interesting to me. What I like to do each morning is look at church history and have three different categories. But always, there is always a story somewhere every day of somebody being martyred, being executed, losing their head, being burned, silly little things, not believing in transubstantiation, just whatever it might be, being an Anabaptist. They killed a guy this week because he was an Anabaptist in the 1500s. So it's history of the church is just saturated with some unbelievable things. And today I think the main thing is just the gospel is so polluted. And what we're studying now is going to be very important as we look at history. And we're dealing with spiritual love. Love of the Father, spiritual love, and inhuman love. And we move to Roman numeral 7. Roman numeral 1, I started with the study of gravity, studying how spiritual love, divine love, can be understood by gravity. You can't see gravity, but you see the effects of it. In Roman numeral 2, we studied force and how love is a force. Roman numeral 3, it has direction. A force has a direction. For God so loved the world. Direction. Roman numeral 4, magnitude. Love can be measured. No greater love hath any man than this. Say, you must love me more than. So love in the Bible has magnitude. And then Roman numeral 5, we took up the idea of observations dealing with a force. Roman numeral 5 was effect and result, impact. People, if love doesn't have an impact, it has no magnitude. The greater the magnitude, the greater the impact. And this is true in human love, divine love, spiritual love. And just to make the analogy from human love, if someone says, I love you, has no impact, no effect, then that love is worthless. It's weak. And so love has impact and effect. We'll study this when we look at 1 Corinthians 13. It lists 16 impacts or effects of love. Spiritual love is long-suffering. If it's not long-suffering, it's not spiritual love. Spiritual love is kind. Spiritual love is not arrogant, and so forth. So we have different impacts or effects. Then Roman numeral 6, we took up observations of a force. And now we move to Roman numeral 7. Roman numeral 7, quickly let's look at categories of love on earth. Categories of love on earth. Now, to me, we talk about theology, dispensations, rapture, tribulation, second advent, millennium. This is practical theology. This is where we live. This is what ought to guide our lives. So I try to do both. I try to give you the theology, Old Testament, New Testament, past history, current history, future history. But we also got to cover where you live. Husband and wife, family, friends, church, work. How do I live the Christian life? And that's what we're looking at when we look at spiritual love. And when you look at church history, you can just see what's been missing. It was a great deal, but there was very little spiritual love in church history. Even during the period of the Reformation, the Reformers did some horrible things. Those fighting the Reformers did some horrible things. And we lived it today. We want to accept everything and call it love. That's not love. Accepting what is abominable, unrighteous, is not love. But we try to do it and call it love. So we have a lot to learn about this thing called love. So right now we're going to look at categories of love on earth. There are three categories of love in our study on earth. And they're called what they're called from different sources of beings. One, divine love, love from God. Two, human love, love from human beings, unbelievers and believers. Three, spiritual love. Years ago, I started calling it spiritual love, coming from spiritual gifts. It's given of the Holy Spirit only. It's given to a new spiritual creature. It has spiritual impact, spiritual love. So when I first started calling it that and studying it, I got a few calls, a couple of guys I didn't even know. Can I use that title? And I said, it's not mine. It's of God's. So if you see it, it's yours. And if you have some other word you want to call it, that's fine. But to me, spiritual love, from a new spiritual creature. Now, the third source is, in its final analysis, from God. God the Holy Spirit. But I want to make it a separate category as being from whom it flows. It flows from a believer empowered by the Holy Spirit. So we have love that comes from God, love that comes from a human being, love that comes from and through a new spiritual believer. It is love produced by God the Holy Spirit, but it flows through a spiritual creature when that creature walks by faith. Now, three principles. One, love, any love, is no stronger or dependable than the subject of that love. Never the object. Whether you're talking about divine love, human or spiritual love, it's no longer, no stronger, no more dependable than the subject of the love. Never the object. Always remember, in human love, do not expect perfection in human love. It isn't going to be there. Two, no matter which category we're dealing with, love has these properties of a force. Magnitude, direction, impact or effect. All three of those will be in divine love, human love, spiritual love. And then three, the quality and usefulness of love is determined by the category of love or the source of it. For an example, love from the Holy Spirit, there's your source, completely dependable. Human love, think about it. Why is there so much trouble with human love? I mean, movies, books, stories, all of it, and life itself. Divorces, fights, murders, all this type of stuff. Why? People were desperately wicked, were depraved. That's how we enter the world. That's our state in human flesh. Even of a believer, our flesh nature is still depraved. So when you look at love that comes from a depraved person, don't expect too much. Give thanks if it's good. But don't expect the world out of it, out of human love, because it's not going to be. Love directly from God, from the Holy Spirit, indirectly into a new spiritual creature, has value before God. Human love has no value before God. Spiritual love has value before God. For an example, the love commanded by Jesus Christ will have the usefulness of letting the world know we're followers of Christ. Love one another as I have loved you. So when we love that way he loved, It lets them know we're followers of Christ. And if it's true spiritual love by the Holy Spirit, the world should be asking, what's your secret? How can you love that way? How can you love under those circumstances? How can you give yourself for someone? Because that's the character of spiritual love. It lets people know we are of Jesus Christ. Spiritual love, as far as the earth is concerned, is the highest quality of love on earth. Not God's love, but human love versus spiritual love. Spiritual love is the highest quality on earth. And every one of you have it. Every believer can have this. It's the highest quality of love on earth. And every believer can have it, has it. Whether or not they allow it to be flowed through them by the Spirit is another issue. There are many things to understand about love. Remember, love is not defined in the Bible. Don't ever try to define love. It's described. And that's what got me into the whole idea of gravity. Gravity is not defined by physicists. It's described. We don't understand. Physicists today do not understand gravity. We describe it. We can picture it when it's absent, just floating through the air. Picture it when it's there. Everything is stable. So we know it by description. Same thing with love. Can't define it. Describe it. Describe its effects, magnitude, direction, all those kind of things that we've been studying. But also to be considered is a source of love. Very important. If I had children, these are the kinds of things that they would get bored with me teaching them. But I would teach them, boy and girl, about love. And love depends on your character. You have a lousy character, your love's going to be lousy. You fall in love with a person who has lousy character, don't expect wonderful love. And don't be amazed if they abuse you. Don't be amazed if they depart. Because love is human love is no better than the source. See? No better than the source of that love. Now, one of the three sources of love is useless. One of the three sources of love is useless as far as the spiritual warfare is concerned. Human love is totally useless to God. Our righteousness is totally useless before God. Our love is totally useless. We're so impressed. I love Jesus. If it's just to the flesh nature, all pumped up and worked up, God's not impressed. Now, maybe other people are impressed. Maybe your friends are impressed. People in the church, wherever you are, they might be. But the only one that counts is God. God is not impressed with our human righteousness. He's such a good person. They love so wonderfully. If it's of the flesh, it doesn't count before God. Now, this is very important. On Sunday morning, the judgment seat of Christ. How can something be good and bad, not sin, but be bad at the judgment seat of Christ? Remember, it's going to be based on good and bad. And bad is not sin. So how is something good or bad? It's bad if it's human flesh, human love, human righteousness, energy of the flesh love. That's in Matthew. But we prophesied in your name. We did all these things in your name. I don't know you. I don't even know you. It doesn't matter. You did that in the energy of the flesh. And we're going to have a lot to say about that as we go through. So this study is important to us daily life, but it's also important to the judgment seat of Christ. You want to be sure your love is from the Holy Spirit. So we come to spiritual love that Jesus Christ commanded us as the highest quality of love. The great use of love on earth is spiritual love. because it demonstrates you love him and you're in the power of his spirit. Now, why did I make a whole section for titles? Titles. Titles are designed by their very name to direct your thinking, spark your thinking. For example, if I said sexual love, everyone knows exactly what I'm talking about. You know, got it all down. So, by the title, you know the category of love. You have some idea of the subject. You have some idea of the source. See? Subject in your mind would immediately know the area that this is coming from. So if I say spiritual love, it's from the Holy Spirit through a human being. If I said human love, it's from another human being. It has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. Divine love, God. So the titles become very important to understanding love. These titles, your thinking is immediately directed to the subject matter of love under that category. Divine love, human love, spiritual love. Let's spend a moment or two under divine love. That is love from the being of God. I guess this has got to be one of the most confusing doctrines in all the Bible. The love of God. It's confused by theologians, definitely by preachers, people. We try to make it whatever we want. Some people make it too stern. Some people make it so non-existent that it just everything's included. So the love from the being of God, the love expressed by God. In fact, this is what God has declared to be. God is love. We want to understand what that means so that we can understand it in our own personal lives and what we do. Now, I know you know this, but please turn to John 3:16 a moment. John 3:16. Okay. What do we have? God. So we already know the category of love we're going to be talking about. God. In this manner, so loved the world. There's your direction. There's the direction of his love. See, we got the direction, we got the source, God, and we got the direction, the world. But think about that. Don't just let that pass by. When we say the world, we're talking about a world of lost souls. We're talking about a world of pagans. We're talking about a world of enemies. We're talking about a world of unrighteous people. Not a one are love worthy. Not a one. Now you may think you are, your mother told you you were, and that's wonderful. But before God, none of us are love worthy. We're wretched. A wretched man that I am. Paul in Romans 7. See, that's what we got to realize. God, in this manner, God loved the world. Now, in what manner did God love the world? What is the impact, the magnitude of his love? Here you have it. That he gave his only begotten son. There's the magnitude of it. People, love has a magnitude. It's a wise young lady, as she starts thinking about marriage, to understand love has magnitude. What's the magnitude of this guy's love that says he loves me? What's the magnitude of it? First of all, you deal with the direction. Does he tell other girls the same thing? See? Is he multi-directional? See? Or does he love you? Then, talk about magnitude. What does it mean? How much does he love you? See? I'll share with you confession. I used to base that how much money I'd spend on a date. See? And when I got tired of spending money on it, that's it. I didn't want to go out with her anymore. Use my hard-earned money. I worked at a grocery store from the sixth grade. I worked for every dime. And I worked for it. See? And when I realized, I'm tired. See? So, there she goes. There was a magnitude. So, and then I use that in humor, but what's the magnitude? See? Does he have a limit? Does he have a how little he's going to love? Or does a magnitude there? The magnitude of God's love, he gave his only begotten son. Now, look at the effect or the impact. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. What an impact. What an effect. Now, this draws something very important that you need to understand about human love and spiritual love. Don't always expect results from the other person, from the object. This is from the subject standpoint. Somebody, the multitudes of people will not respond to his love. But the love is there. The impact is there. Results are there. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. But a lot of people say no. And this is very hard for a lot of people to understand. But I love you. Like love is some kind of a control. That's the way a lot of people use love. How could you do this to me? I love you. My love should control your actions. People don't ever do that. Your love isn't going to control. That comes from their response. Comes from our response to this love of God. A lot of people say no. I don't want to be a recipient of this love. You and I at some point, at different points in our lives, said yes. I respond to that love. I want that love. I want that eternal life. But I'm showing you that just because you express human love, spiritual love, don't necessarily expect the object of your love to respond. May not. May not respond at all. And that hurts a lot of people. That devastates a lot of people. That's why parents should teach their sons and daughters these things. It's because you love somebody. Doesn't mean they're going to love you back. Doesn't mean it at all. And there's no way you can make them. But I do everything. It doesn't matter. God did everything. Did everything. And people still say no to so great a love. See? And they pay the benefit. They pay the penalty for rejection of his love. So, now, with that in mind, let's look at 1 John. 1 John, over to Revelation, and you can come back to 1 John, chapter 4. First John, chapter 4. Look at verse 8. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. See, we choose to love. God is love. And that's very dangerous, but it's very true. Look down at verse 16, same chapter. And we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. This is what God is. So, God is infinite. God is immutable. His love, therefore, is immutable. Which means, what does that mean? His love cannot be improved. His love does not change, and it cannot be improved. You have the maximum recipient of the maximum love of God. Now, whether or not we benefit from it depends on our spiritual maturity. That's what we're studying on Sunday morning. Babes, infants, as opposed to maturity. So, as you grow, we'll respond to his love more. That's one of the reasons you want to grow in the Word of God. You want to read mature. the more mature you are, the more you can respond to the love of God. The more you will have the impact, the effect of His love in you. When we come to the 16 impacts in 1 Corinthians 13, the more mature you are, the more you respond to those, the more you'll be aware of those. As we're growing, we're not aware how much He loved us. It's like growing up at home. We're not, Mom and Dad, do you love me? What kind of phone do I have? Do I have a TV in my room? Am I going to get a car when I'm in school? These kinds of things. See? But after a while, you start looking. Thinking, you know, Mom and Dad really do love me. Now, a lot of times, that takes a long time. Takes a long time. I love that old gal that reared me. She didn't care one bit whether we said we love you or we hate you as children. But when we came back as adults and said, I love you, that made an impact to her. Made a big impact. But we could say, I hate you, I love you, and it didn't bother her. It didn't move her. Oh, they don't love me anymore. Did not her. She'd say, don't break the door when you slam it. That was her deal, see? But as you get older, more mature, you're able to identify love. This is why young girls, young guys, should be taught by their parents about human love. To recognize it. To be able to understand it. Why does He love me? What does He want? Does He have some goal in mind for saying He loves me? What's His character? Do all the study in human love. But here we're primarily dealing right now with divine love. So these truths of God's love is eternal, unchangeable. Now think about this. What's important about those two things? Eternal, unchangeable. People, it gives us a wonderful sense of stability, a wonderful sense of security in our relationship with Him. Even when we fail. If you understand His love is eternal, unchangeable, you have stability even when you sin. Even when you fail, you don't develop a guilt. You come back to Him by faith, a relationship with God. Remember that both stability and consistency are essential to any lovely relationship between man and God. We are the ones fickle. We're the ones inconsistent. He is consistent. He's always there. So this is so important as we grow. It was very easy for me as a child to relate this back to God. I would do something, and I mean it would be bad, and I mean I'd get a whipping like you can't believe. Nice warm meal, clean bed, and a good night hug every night. And I began to see, okay, this, my mother can do this. God can do it infinitely better. God can do it more. So when I sinned or fell against God, I didn't fall apart. I knew I'd have a meal and a hug, as it were, from God. That was my view of God. That's where I learned about God. And it's the way we want to understand Him and understand His love. It's not happy. It's going to give us a spanking. Doesn't mean He didn't love me. See? I got some pretty big spankings. Pretty rough spankings. But I always knew she loved me. Never doubted my mind. Never doubted she didn't love me. I knew it. See? So this is the way we deal with God. Understanding God's love is essential. So this is the how does this measure it, and how does this go into our study? How does this translate into our study? What we've just been discussing is the magnitude. We have seen that magnitude is the measure of a force. And we have noted that coming from man, the power of the Holy Spirit, love is measured. More than, no greater love hath any man. Love can be increased. These kind of things. Not faith, but love. When it comes to the magnitude of the love of God, the magnitude of God's love, it is constant, always the same, immutable. So people think about it. And Paul says this in Romans 5. Look what he did for us when we were his enemy. Look what he did for us when we were his enemies. He gave his son on a cross a horrible death for us when we were his enemies. How much more is he going to do now? How much more can he do? He did that, more now, and more now. The limitation of God's demonstration of his love is us. That's the limitation. Be like a father as a newborn baby. Walks into the hospital room with a football. Here's your football. See? And the kid slobbers all over it. That's not what a football is for. Or comes in, keys to a nice Corvette. Here's your car. Eats it. See? Not ready. The dad's ready. But the kid's not. God is always ready, people, to love you. If God is not allowed to love you in certain ways, it's your fault. It's our fault. See? We're not where he wants us to be. Maybe we got to learn something. Maybe we've got to grow in certain areas. But you always want to be in a position where God can love you. God can give you. Use you. To me, that's the best thing. It's not what he can give. It's what he can use. God, use me. Use me today. Lead me to an unbeliever. Lead me to somebody who needs some more biblical truth. Whatever it is, use me this day. Don't let this day pass. That's the greatest blessing. That's the greatest love God can give me. Use me today. Not tomorrow. Right now. But we have to be in that position where we can be used of God. We have to have that mindset. We have to be mature enough, ready for him to be able to use us. Now, a picture of the magnitude of God is seen along with direction. Magnitude plus direction leads to the effects of God's love on the cross. Let's go back. For God, source of the love, in this manner, introduces the demonstration of his love, so loved the world, direction. This is the world of darkness of enemies. That he gave his unique son. That's the magnitude. It's the magnitude. Now we come to the impact, the effect, results. That whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And from this we learn a lot about love. It gives love, God's love, gives to its enemies for reconciliation, for restoration. People, this is so important in understanding through history. Yes, God loves the unbeliever, but it's for reconciliation and restoration. He's going to love everyone in the lake of fire for all eternity. But they're going to be in eternity in the lake of fire. They refuse to be reconciled. They refused to be transformed by his love. So they refused to be restored to him. He still loves them, but they're not the benefit of the love. We've got to understand God's love. It's always there, but you've got to decide whether you want to be benefited by his love or not. Now, let's take a look at Christ's love. Remember that love of the humanity of Christ came from the Holy Spirit. Always remember that. It's very important. Jesus, the love that Christ lived in his life came from the Holy Spirit. That's the love that we can have. had Christ loved from his deity, we could never love as Christ loved. If Christ loved from his perfect humanity, we could never love as Christ loved. But he loved from the Holy Spirit. You and I have that same Holy Spirit. We can love exactly as Jesus Christ loved. So that when he says, love one another as I have loved you. If he loved from his deity, it's a mute question. We can't do it. Love for his perfect humanity, mute question. We can't do it. But he loved from the filling of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, we can do that. We can do it by walking and trusting in the Holy Spirit. That you love one another as Christ loves you. How did Christ love you? One, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Two, the magnitude of his love, he laid down his life. The direction of his love, for you. One of the most beautiful statements in the communion service. This is for you. Personally, intimately. Not for everyone. This isn't a mass thing. It's for you personally. So the direction is you. The effect of his love, salvation, eternally with him, eternally with his Father. So you want to ask yourself about your love, human love, spiritual love. What's the magnitude of it? What's the direction of it? What's the effect or impact of it? See? Now, remember, that impact effect doesn't mean that that will impact and affect the other person. But it will have an impact and effect from you. Love is kind. Is your love kind? Doesn't matter whether they deserve kindness or not. It's not the question. Love is kind. And that's a hard thing to define. Kind. Whether love is kind. What is kind? One of my favorite examples from the Bible in dealing with that word is dealing with wine. Wine is kind. What does that mean? That means you're sitting at a table and you have at the table a connoisseur. He, she knows wine. They know Bordeaux is the first growth. They know how it's supposed to look. They know how it's supposed to, the nose, the beauty, the taste. They got it all down. Also at that table is a guy that wouldn't know Bordeaux from Red Ripple. Doesn't care. Doesn't care at all. Just gullies away. Now, let's say what wine would do. You know what? To the connoisseur, I'm going to put forth my best. Oh, I'm really going to put forth my best. But for this slob over here, I'm not putting forth anything. He wouldn't know if it's sugar and water. So that's all I'm going to be to him. No. It's the same wine for the connoisseur, same wine for the guy that doesn't know a thing. Same. It's kind. It's kind. So your love, spiritual love, and should be human love, but spiritual love doesn't matter about the object, in that sense, it's what I'm going to be. This is what I'm going to be. This is what I am. So the love of Jesus Christ has magnitude, direction, effect. Christ's love for you is for you spiritually in its effect. Spiritual effect. Now, there's human love from all members of the human race. And remember that the human love is no stronger, no better than the subject of the love. Remember that we are depraved. We all came, we all go back to that in the energy of the flesh. But note, a third category that comes in our study. The third category, spiritual love. Okay, spiritual love from a new spiritual creation, that's you and me, but it comes only through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not our love, people. That's very important to know. In a moment, we're going to study human love. But spiritual love is not our love. It's not your love. It's love of the Holy Spirit. See? Now, we're calling this spiritual love to mark it, distinct it from human love, which may be virtuous and honorable from the unbeliever or from a believer, not in the power of the Spirit. Human love is dependent on man, his virtue, nobility, or the lack thereof. Remember, the source of human love is the energy of the flesh. Always the energy of the flesh. And most of the time, it's to satisfy me. Me. I love you, therefore. It's about me. Human love comes from both unbeliever and believer. Spiritual love is different. It can only come through the believer, and only then when he's in the filling of the Spirit. Also calling it spiritual love, to distinguish it from divine love, which is God's love. Spiritual love is a love that we are commanded as believers to possess and manifest. And we can have this love when we walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. Let's spend a moment on human love now. Look at human love. Human love is common to almost every member of the human race. Unbeliever, believer. And as far as the believer is concerned, this love functions whether the believer is filled with the Spirit or carnal. Unlike spiritual love, which is there only when we're filled with the Spirit. That's why people in a husband-wife relationship, they really act weird. What's wrong with you? Well, I went to the flesh. See, you're learning about me. That's what I really am like. Now, would you like me to be back into the Spirit? Yeah, by all means. See? And always remember, I like to remind people of this. Always remember, you will be with that person without their sin nature forever. That sin nature won't go to heaven. That stays here. That died out. So this is the person you want to get to know. Human love depends on the character of the subject, never the object. And this category of love can be developed as a child grows into adulthood, or as in some cases, the person becomes hardened. They actually neutralize their capacity to love. And there are a lot of people like that. They neutralize their capacity to love. This category of love is common to almost every member of the human race, unbeliever, believer. And remember, the new commandment should be common to every believer. Human love is common to every human being. Human love, now here's, we're going to close with this. Human love is often called virtue love. Virtue love is not spiritual love. It is a good title for human love. Why? Believer trying in the energy of the flesh to duplicate love of Christ, and it won't work. But virtue love's a good title for it, because that's what we're trying to do. Duplicate in the flesh the love that can only come through the Holy Spirit. There are a multitude of Christians and non-Christians throughout the church age trying to copy the love of Christ on the cross. Many martyrs throughout church history were not even believers in Christ. Not born again believers. But trying to duplicate the love that they see in Christ. And they try to do it in the flesh. What is virtue? Virtue is a conformity to a standard of excellence. Virtue love by man trying so hard in the flesh, to duplicate the love that comes only through the Holy Spirit. Virtue love is man trying to make it happen. Man trying to make the love of God happen. And it won't work. It works in a lot of pseudo churches, pseudo relationships, but not before God. Virtue love, man trying to make the love of God happen. Man, unbeliever or believer, out of the filling of this Holy Spirit, impressed with virtue love. Now, why are we impressed with virtue love? It's for me. It draws attention to me. That's why we're impressed with virtue love. Look how I love. Look how wonderful my love is. The whole world ought to love me because I love right. I love wonderfully. My love is so virtuous. It's all about me. See, spiritual love, think about this now, is never about you. Christ loved us, and what did he do? He died on a cross. Christ loved, and what did he do? He got down on his knees and washed their feet. It's never about you. You ever wonder about your love? Find out whose its interest is. Is the interest in you, or is the interest in the object? Christ's love was always the object. People, let's face the facts. If we were God, a lot of us would not have given our only son. Would not. Look down at how horrible man is. No way. No way. But God's love looked down at man's need. Saw the need and met the need. That's what love does. Love is not about you. Love is about the object. Love sees a need, meets that need to the best of its ability. For God, had to sacrifice his son. For Christ, had to sacrifice his life. For you and me, lay down your life for one another. Now, does that mean literal? Physical? Well, if it doesn't, we can only do it one time. That's not what it means. It means, and it doesn't mean for their physical improvement or life improvement on earth. It deals with their spiritual. It deals with their spiritual being. That's what it means. Are we willing to do that? Sacrifice your time. That's your life. Money, if it works to the spiritual realm. These kinds of things, are you willing to lay those things down for the benefit of someone else? Love, spiritual love, divine love, object. Never the subject. Virtue love, always me. Look how wonderful, how pure, how virtuous I am. That's your secret. That's not divine love. That's not spiritual love. Spiritual love doesn't care about you. It cares about the object. And this is what I have to do. I'm God. I'm the Savior of the world. If I have to get down and wash their feet, I'll do it. If I have to go to the cross and die a sinner's death, I'll do it. It's not about me. It's about the need of the object of that love. But we have a great deal to learn about love, so we'll pick it up here next Wednesday evening. Let's close in a word of prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, please let us learn. We're only on earth a little while, just a little while. We have a short time. Let us learn about your love. Give us an understanding of it so that we do not distort it, but that we understand it. Understand when yours is your love, how your love functions, that we might imitate it, Father, through the power of your Spirit. Father, we're so taken with the love of Christ that, as Paul says, we are consumed by this love. We want to live in that love. We want that love to flow through us to those around us, to those you put in our path in a day, Father, I pray your Spirit will use the things we've seen tonight for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen.